Reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight."
Thanks, Andy. So a lot of people here that, hey, yeah, Brett's here. See, who else did I see? Oh, some Okies were here. I saw some Okies somewhere. Where are the Okies? Oh, there they are. Okies are here. And the Rileys are here. Hey, Rileys. Yeah, it's good stuff. Happy to see everybody. Chloe's getting ready to go to Ireland. I'm jealous. Very jealous. Is it Ireland or Scotland?
Ireland.
Okay, Ireland, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, there's other folks here. Other visitors, people are going off to college, Gabe, I'm sad, but we're going to miss you and love you and everyone else. Who else is going off to college? There's other people going off to college. Yeah, you're going, oh my, yes, of course. College-bound folks, we're going to miss you. Well, anyway, I hope that from my last sermon, as we watch the Lord choose Ananias, of all people, to be his agent, right? And being solely described, he is like just a disciple. That's it. That God's mission for the whole world to know him, of restoring his entire creation back to him, the Lord choosing Ananias means something really important. Every rank within his army is important. Every rank. Ananias going to Saul means that there are no ordinary soldiers in his army, that every one of us is important, not just leaders. And the reason is because praying people who are respected by their communities, this is Ananias, who sit at the feet of and trust in their master, as with any well-trained infantry, are very far from ordinary. They have a very important role in the spiritual war that's going on around us. Ananias's calling means that we have these jobs to do, the infantry work, that we must face our fears, get out of our foxholes, and engage the enemy. You see, faith and courage, if we have it and we do this, could mean peace to others. A small victory, as we see with Ananias here, could turn the whole momentum of the battle, even the war. Ananias on Straight Street. Now look, I'm going to try to say this, Straight Street. I'm going to say it a lot today. If I say State Street, just ignore it. But I mean Straight Street, okay? Carolyn corrected me on that. Thank you, Carolyn, for correcting me. Him being on Straight Street meant that the church was now going to be safe in Damascus, and it meant that the borders of the kingdom were growing and that they were spreading and that the front lines were actually moving out into further out into the enemy's territory. Ananias accepting his mission didn't yield this POW here. No, it meant the enemy turned. A foe became a friend. Out of darkness, God gave light. Out of the eater came honey. Out of the stone comes refreshment. This is where we are with Saul. Weary in the house of Judas on Straight Street. Symbolically still splattered with the blood of Stephen. And that blood is like acid on his soul. It's burning a hole in him. Look at the power of God. In one moment he is broken, his aim has been turned, his rebellious heart has been tamed. Saul cannot eat, he can't drink, The reality of his sin has totally overwhelmed him. But from our passage that Andy read for us, we see that he is doing something. He's doing something there on Straight Street. I like the emphasis of the King James Version where it just says, "Behold, he prayeth." Behold, he prayeth. I want to look at this prayer and I want to look at what it means for us. And I'll say that this is probably technically his first prayer because it's going to be the first time that he's going to pray to Christ. It's going to be the first time that he's actually going to speak to God with Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, upon his broken heart. Notice when the Lord told Ananias where to go, the reason was because, behold, there is someone praying. So that means that when Saul fell, begging for mercy, God began to hear him. And this is one great reason for us to praise God this morning, that prayers are noticed in heaven. Prayers are heard. Prayers of broken sinners, prayers of the enemies of the cross, prayers that are like groans from those who failed him. These prayers are heard on that great throne above. I'm sure Saul was so overwhelmed by what had happened to him out there on that road that he was responsible. Think about it. He's responsible for the death of some of the Lord's followers, that he was an exacting enemy of the one that he really loved, that in all that time, he was so wrong in everything he thought and everything that he did. I'm sure his prayer was filled with incomprehensible and unintelligible sighs and groans, even wailing, and of course, lots of tears. He probably couldn't even put words together to tell the Lord how humble he was and how devastated and how broken he was. He just faced the shock of his life. And on top of all that, now he's blind. This prayer must have been a lot of noise, been a lot of tears. But the blessing is here that the Lord knew exactly what Saul was saying. Tears are like these divine diamonds, you know, and the sighs must be like the music around the throne room. So here is a key point to our sermon. Our solemn, sin-sorrowed supplications are not silent to our Savior. I mean, if he took notice of Saul, do you think he would ignore your godly sorrow? Could you be as guilty ever in your life as this vile person was, right, that is there on Straight Street? When it comes to a torn heart where it's like this sorrow bleeds from it, God cannot look away. He cannot look away. Where lips are quivering, you know, and eyes are dripping of tears because one is agonizing over their sins, the ear of Jehovah God is open and is hearing. Never, ever think of yourself as too much of a sinner to call upon the Lord. From Saul's darkness, from a heart receiving no light at all, whose soul is stained with the very blood, right, of saints, the Lord has said, behold, he prayeth. That means he heard him. From Isaiah chapter 65, we read God saying, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Man, there are so many scriptures like this. So many scriptures that refer to God's amazing attendance to us, even before we ask. He's watching, he's hearing, he's noting. He's devoting himself to us, heeding our pleas before we even verbalize them. Saul's praying and Ananias' calling reminds us that there is a sinner's prayer. And yes, it is clearly heard in the divine realm, to which I want to make a bit of a tangent here. Whatever happened on that road left our Saul in a state of total misery. When he got to Straight Street, I mean, he felt far from being accepted by the Lord, for sure. There's no way. He's not even eating. He's not even drinking. God had not opened his eyes yet. But also Saul saying this sinner's prayer still gave him no relief. He got no relief. Remember, the Lord said to him, go and you will be told what you must do. Saul's waiting. He's waiting for the Lord's decision. He's waiting for more words. He's waiting for direction. In a vision, he's shown that someone's going to come to him and going to open his eyes and give him what he's been waiting for. The pain and the prayer, definitely part of the conversion process for Saul, no doubt about it. But until Ananias put his hands on him, until his vision was restored, until he received those precious instructions, Saul is not feeling like he is close to the Lord and saved from his dark past. When he finally saw Ananias with his own eyes, his question is still on his heart, what shall I do? Still, Saul knew he was not right in the sight of God, even though he could now see. No, he needed to be told, tell me, what shall I do? Friends, we are Ananias, right? Can't we tell them what to do? Someone has to tell them, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. For Saul saying his sinner's prayer, even calling on the name of the Lord, if that's all he was told to do, that was not going to do it. No. He was told he had to be baptized. Friends, people can say whatever they like. They can tell us how important that it is to say that prayer. And yes, we will absolutely instruct people to get on their knees and pray for mercy and forgiveness from God. And that we will tell them that it is only in the name of that one that you can receive the forgiveness. And that is the shed blood on that cross, which we've all celebrated here even this morning. But we are not going to skip over baptism. Just not going to do it. One's understanding of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the gospel itself, rests in every Christian's decision to be baptized. Plus, there is this amazing and mysterious truth that one cannot receive the Holy Spirit without it. Now, let's go back to that room. Straight Street. Have you noticed that there was an urgency in the room? Saul's been waiting. Ananias has reported and he's sharing what Saul must do. The urgency is thick in this room between these two. Ananias even asks Saul, why do you wait? So, yes, go to God in prayer. Beg for his mercy. Yes. Call on Jesus Christ as Lord. Yes. But the urgency was not only for these divine virtuous acts. No, it also included Saul's immersion and burial in that watery grave. And I'll tell you, you read the rest of the book of Acts and you will see that when people make their decision for Jesus Christ, and I'm sorry, they're so small. Pretty small, sorry. You're going to see they are called to the watery grave immediately. Immediately. This urgency we feel in the house of Judas on Straight Street is a force behind every new birth of every child of God. Now, we know God is going to call Saul to this work now. We know that he is going to make disciples and that he's going to baptize them and that he's going to form whole communities of believers. But if the Lord has called Ananias to this home, to this room, he definitely is calling us into the same work. We cannot wait for the calls of this world to do this work. Friends, we cannot do this. No, we too must stay busy calling even the Sauls of this world out of the darkness into light. I mentioned this last week, but we have to be very, very careful about how we would want to overlook someone who's beyond hope. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts them, the tears and the pain are immense. Look at Saul. Beware of deciding who you should spend time with. More time with this person, more time with this person, sharing the gospel. Never forget the one who's sowing. The sower, he sowed the seed all the way to the edges of the field, right? In fact, some of them even fell on the path, but all the soils are covered, and you cannot know which soil is best until you throw the seed, until you plant the seed. I would ask this as well. When Jesus shed a tear looking down on Jerusalem, who did he exclude from that pain in Jerusalem? When Jesus forgave from the cross, who was he thinking of at that moment and in general? Weren't you at some point in your life? Didn't someone, I know people did to me, they looked at me and they would have said, there is no hope for that guy. No hope. Beyond hope. Is it that crazy that Saul of Tarsus was converted to Jesus Christ? Haven't you ever wondered how you receive such grace? Again, I would remind you of the infantry, God's infantry. That's how. Those doing his work from these divine trenches, right? Some disciple reached out to you. Anything is possible. Anything when we do our jobs as soldiers on the front lines in the kingdom of God. All right, I want to go back to this idea that this of this being Saul's first prayer. Now, we know this Hebrew of Hebrews prayed all the time. We know that. We are sure that he was at the temple every time it was a time of prayer. I'm sure that. And if he wasn't there, I guarantee you that he was out on the street or he was at the street corner and he was praying at 9, noon, and 3 for sure. But I wonder, were those prayers heard? Why now, here on Straight Street? Surely his prayers were eloquent. I mean, maybe they were bold like that Pharisee, right, that Jesus used in his parable. Lord, thank you that I'm not like other men, like this tax collector. Friends, this praying on Straight Street did not come from a book of prayer. It was not from a devotional book. It was not memorized, common prayer used by many. No, this prayer, it did not come from the mouth and the head only. This prayer of mercy came from the very soul. It was his own because it came from his own sinfulness and sorrows. Jesus said that when that Pharisee completed his prayer, God had ignored it. But for that sinner, the tax collector who beat his chest in shame, God heard him. Saul had prayed many times, but here is the one we know for sure God heard. The prayer came so deep from the heart that words could barely be formed. And if so, they were probably drowned out with his sobs and the tears, right? When is the last time that we've done this, right? That you've prayed with this kind of intensity? I mean, have we all convinced ourselves that the sins that we have committed in this day against our Father no longer need to be shared with him in sorrow? Are we blind then as this Pharisee? Let every prayer include the pain that we feel when we do fail him. It's okay. For we know that these are the prayers that end up in the throne room. We know that from this example. They end up in the throne room. They're like a great and amazing fragrance. Ananias was devout. Now look, this is what Paul described him as. Ananias is devout, he says in Acts 22. So he must have prayed like this. He must have prayed this kind of thing, confessing, sharing his faults, being humble. And God has rewarded him with this incredible mission, and he was successful at it. He's this courageous infantryman. He's like won this hand-to-hand battle, combat. As we struggle within, and as we work with our weaknesses, it seems that God answers with strength for another sinner. We may not feel strong, but he gives us strength with another sinner. We have to remember that. We got to take that. We cannot ignore God hearing Saul's prayer, "Behold, he prayeth," but we also cannot ignore that Ananias is described as a man of prayer. Ananias, the man of prayer. This whole scene then has evolved out of prayer, which I would say, and I would ask, couldn't we then now understand the problems of this world based on this scene, this one scene? all the problems of the world have an answer. They come to us because the Ananiases and the Sauls never find each other. They don't find each other. And today we've seen that prayer is what creates the entire union between these two. Behold, he prayeth. Is he? Are we? If so, who among us will God send? Because when we're sent, there's hope for the world.